told all the reporters at the press conference that Al Capone had tried to bribe him. So the next day in the headlines, it read, Ness and his men are untouchable. And thus began this great legend of Elliot Ness and his Untouchables. Now, a lot of us remember because Elliot Ness and the Untouchables was on a TV program, right? And we used to watch that, and it was amazing what would happen. Then we've had movies about it. Listen, these 12 guys were righteous. They believed and had righteousness and integrity, and they couldn't be purchased. They couldn't be compromised. They were going to stand up for the law, for the truth. You know, and I look at that, and I compare that to Christianity today, where we don't seem to be overly concerned about righteousness, integrity. Almost, but not really a heartfelt concern. And we kind of get sloppy in our commitment to righteousness. And I think probably the reason is because we know the scripture says that Christ has made us righteous, right? And so since we're righteous, do we have to do it too? Today it's Christians, I think, don't really have that commitment to truth and righteousness and integrity and godliness. And God not only asks us to have that, it's his will. There's only two times in Paul's epistles where he said, this is God's will for you. And he says this in 1 Thessalonians on one of them. The other one is Thanksgiving. And this one he says, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, your holiness, your righteousness. And he's looking for us, and we know that the scripture tells us we're justified. That's the same thing. These we're made righteous, we're made holy, we're washed inside and out by God the moment of belief. And in Proverbs 11, God, and you could turn there if you want because we're going to be in there in a little bit. God is calling his people to be men and women of legend, all right? He's calling us to be people known for our integrity and truth, people who can't be bought, people who stand up for righteousness in a land that is filled with evil and corruption. Is that not true? Our land is full of evil and corruption. And we may think that the circumstances are different today, that we can't do anything about it, but tell that to Elliot Ness. Tell that to the Old Testament saints that turned things around. Now, many of us went down to Tuesday to the Capitol on the West Capitol steps, and we prayed for our nation. We confessed our sins, our father's sins, and the sins of the country, just like Nehemiah and Solomon did. And, you know, as I stood and listened to Franklin Graham, I was impressed with his tenacity to stand up and speak up for righteousness with no apologies in his incorrectness, his political incorrectness, he stuck with the word of God. And, you know, if you watched the Denver news that night, did you see all the crowds? No, they didn't have it. They didn't report it. Not one of the channels reported 4,700 people out on that lawn confessing sins and listening to Franklin Graham. They didn't, there wasn't a single report. Is that political correctness? Yeah. What does that tell you about the times that we're living in? You know, I keep thinking in my mind some ways, and you may too, that the ship's kind of coming. Hey, it's already coming past, my friend. We're in evil, evil times. But let it be a gay pride parade. Is it? And with five people in it. Is that going to be on TV? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But not a Christian event. You know, Micah 6:8, God declares this, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to act righteously, and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And so what does God expect of us? To walk in righteousness. Yes, we have righteousness. God has made us righteous, but he's asking us to walk in righteousness. To love mercy. Do you love mercy? Man, I love the mercy that God gave me. And to walk in a humble spirit before God. And he's asking you to walk in love, but walk in love in truth. Like Ness, he's calling us to be legends and heroes in our world. And the world may not see it, but God sees it, right? And so here in Proverbs 11, God tells us what a righteous person looks like. So I'm going to stand out of the way, and I'll read the white, and you read the yellow, okay? The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Boy, did you read that? Boy, isn't that true? When someone is wicked in office or around us and they perish, man, it's celebration time. By the blessing of the upright, the city will be exalted. Next slide. Okay, go to the first slide. I think we went too far. Go to the previous one. There we go. The integrity of the upright will guide them. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. The righteous is delivered from trouble. Wow. Those are pretty heavy proverbs, aren't they? Did you catch the pattern? God is saying these people are the righteous ones, the others are not. These folks have integrity, the other folks don't. God loves the good guys, but not the other guys. The upright he protects and honors, but the wicked he traps and destroys. You know, God this morning is telling us, make a choice, friend. Make a choice. Decide what kind of person you're going to be in this corrupt and evil world. You know, I was looking at a Barna group back in, they did a survey in 2008, a nationwide survey, asking people about their views on morality. And what they found is evangelicals, now evangelicals are Christian churches that believe in Christ as Savior and so on, okay? Evangelicals were a group that were most likely to embrace morality. The atheists and agnostics were most likely to reject morality. Now, that seems like duh, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't take a nationwide survey for us to understand that. Those who described themselves as liberals rather than conservatives were 5 times more likely to participate in unmarried sex, 3 times more likely to view pornography. I bet you it's gone up since 2008, huh? More than twice as likely to lie and get drunk and seek revenge and gossip. And then people associated with faiths outside of Christianity were twice as likely as evangelicals to engage in these behaviors. So what does that say to you and I? Those who respect God and the Bible are more likely to embrace righteousness than those who didn't. You know, I love this paragraph by Dostoevsky. Once you remove the God of Scripture from your life, everything is permissible. Isn't that true? You see it in families, you see it in friends and coworkers, people that believed at one time that don't. People that are rejecting the word of God, That's so popular now, to reject the word of God. And those who reject God's righteousness do because it interferes with what they really want to do. You know, Paul describes this in Ephesians 2:3. Let me just read that. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others, as the others. What he's saying is that they fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we see that happening, don't we? We see that happening all over. And so it could be summed up in this cute little story. A man went to see a psychiatrist. He complained, "I've been doing some bad things, doc, and my conscience is troubling me." So the doctor asked, "Do you want something that will strengthen your willpower?" And the man said, "Well, no, I was thinking something that would weaken my conscience." Kind of true, isn't it? Many people don't want God's righteousness. Even many people calling themselves Christian. They want something that will make themselves feel better about their own unrighteousness because they're looking for things outside of God to fulfill their life. But God is saying over and over and over to you and I, it's not going to work. It's not going to fulfill you. And I don't care what your excuse or my excuse is, wrong is wrong. Amen? And it's not going to meet our needs. You know, I remember way back years ago at a previous church, I was there in the evening. I don't remember who I was even with. And a couple came through the door and came up and we sat down in the pew and said, we need to talk to you. And I said, okay. And they said, is there any exception in the Bible so that my girlfriend and her and I can sleep together? We can commit adultery because she's married. And I said, well, do you love your husband? She goes, yeah, but I love him too. And so I said, well, do you want to divorce your husband? She said, no, I just want to sleep with him. And he wants to sleep with me. And so after a long sigh, I said my usual famous words, no. There is nothing. It's complete sin, and God does not want you to do this, because they said they were Christians. And we talked a little more, and he was exasperated. He asked me, he said, is there anybody else in town, another minister that would agree with us? No. And if they would, I wouldn't tell you their name. So I followed him out to the car, and they were disgruntled, and they got into the car, and he rolled down his window, and he said, are you sure there isn't a loophole in the Bible so we can sleep together? And I said, well, here. And I turned to the scriptures, and I took his windshield wiper, pulled it back, slapped my Bible on it, slapped the windshield back so it'd stay there. And I said, read that. Read verse 2, or whatever it was. And he didn't like it. And he pulled out, and I was able to grab my Bible back just in time. And they went ripping out, and they were going to find somebody who would allow them to sin, to do evil. We're living in an age that Isaiah lived in, just before Israel collapsed. And he was warning Israel, just like we have to warn people in America, especially you and I, because, you know, if we don't warn, who's going to do it? Isaiah 5:20. I'm just going to read the first few verses in the end. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Are we in that society? Yeah, certainly we are. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them. And then drop down. Because they have rejected the law of God, of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. The sin of our society has become right. You know, I mean, just to show you, Debbie and I have been watching a series on ABC Family, right? Hopefully that's safe, right? Okay, ABC Family, and it's about two babies that were switched when they were born, and it's 16 years, these girls are 16 years old, and their families discover they have the wrong child. Very interesting. I mean, the first season was really good. We got into the second season, and the girls begin to sleep around. And so the 16-year-old has a relationship with a 32-year-old man, 16 years old in high school with a 32-year-old man. Now, I was kind of flabbergasted. I thought that's not even politically correct. That's worse than politically correct, right? That would be a criminal charge. And then the 17-year-old slept with a 23-year-old. She had just turned 17, so for her birthday, she slept with him. And then they begin to sleep around. We thought, okay, that's enough for us, you know. ABC Family is teaching our young people that it's okay at 16, because if you love the person, it's okay. Right is wrong, and wrong is right. And the families seem to condone it. I'm baffled at wrong being right. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how it keeps happening, because it just seems so clear, the consequences and those type of things. And even in the Christian community, we're shutting our mouth. We're letting it go by. We're not saying anything. We're trying our best not to speak to these hard issues, right? I want you to look back at the headlines with Franklin Graham gathering, okay? I want you to read this. Now, no Denver reporters of any kind, paper or anything, talked about this gathering. Okay, GOP, what's that grand old party, the Republicans. Okay, the Republicans cheers huge Capitol rally. Okay, so now it's a Republican thing we are going to. Not a God thing. Reverend Franklin Graham, hater. He's a hater because he told the truth. He's a hater. Man, I looked at that, and I had looked all over that day on my computer to see if I could find some report in Denver. Nothing. Nothing at all. He called right, right, and wrong, wrong, and now he's a hater. Please hear this. It doesn't matter what sin we're talking about. Wrong is wrong. My friend, this morning, if you are in sin, if you are living in sin, if whatever it may be in your life, wrong is wrong. Am I confusing on that? Okay. Do something about it, my friends. It isn't a secret. You may be doing it in secret, whatever it may be. It is not a secret. God's watching. Proverbs 15:3, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Exodus 23:2, you shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Wrong is wrong. Now listen, in our society, when we think wrong is right, you know what happens to your heart? It gets calloused. The Bible talks about it. Pretty soon, our heart is hard and our conscience is beginning to not bother us as much, and our heart is seared. That's what the scripture says. Our heart's seared. Man, do you want a seared heart, my friend? What we need is a decision this morning. Not to let the crowd sway us, not to let the politically correct sway us. and tell us what to believe and tell us what we need to accept and not accept. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And if we don't stand up, like I said a little bit ago, who will? God isn't accepting excuses. He demands righteousness. He gave us righteousness. But he's demanding righteousness from you and me, and it's his will, his stated will. God is clear. I don't think we're confused this morning, are we? So I want you to get out your bulletin.